Where were you in July 1964? I know some of you saying, I was nowhere. And maybe your parents were nowhere in 1964. And maybe there might be some here that even your grandparents weren't here in 1964. You students can do the math on that. See if you can figure it out. But my wife and I were married with two children. And you said, well, you didn't have to tell us that. We could tell by your suit style. You know? Okay? Yeah. We were like nomads at that time. We just traveled around. We started in Texas. We followed the grain harvest all the way to Canada. You know, in Texas and Oklahoma, it was the early harvest. By the time we were getting to Canada, it was fall harvest. Yeah, we were just traveling a good part of the year, following that harvest as it moved north. And one day there in 1964, I remember well, we were driving from Selby, South Dakota to Mobridge, South Dakota, just to see a movie. You know, young people do things like that for no reason. Well, let's just do it. Well, we were doing it. Something happened on that drive. Something happened on that drive in 1964 that began to change our whole course in life. We didn't realize it at the time. I was excited. But would I be willing to do what I would be called on to do? I didn't know what I would be called on. It was a life-changing event. You know, when God called Israel out of Egypt, their whole lifestyle began to change. Everything began to change. I'm sure they were very excited. But were they willing to do what would be called on them to do? Yeah, it was excited. We heard they had plundered the Egyptians. They were carrying wealth. They had to pick up and move. And they were fleeing from their former life. And there was an enemy in hot pursuit behind them. I will read from Exodus chapter 14 in verse 5. Exodus 14 verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? They had you've heard of buyer's remorse. The next morning you have the new car. Why did I do that? What was I thinking? Pharaoh said, what were we thinking, guys? We let these people go. Why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. Also, he took 600 chariots and captains and a whole army. And then in verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them while they were camping. So how do you think Israel was feeling then? Have you had something similar that changed your course of life? Have you had a similar event that just all at once your life was changed? Well, Israel, when the pressure mounted, they were excited. Man, they had the wealth. They were ready to move. They were going from slavery. But when the pressure mounted, they begin to say, but we can't do this. Did we bargain for this? In verse 11 and 12. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? They were already losing confidence, as we just heard. Their confidence was dwindling and basically had gone away. But what did God say in verse 15? And the Eternal said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. To go forward. That many years, my wife and I had to make that decision. Are we going forward? Or are we going to remain nomads traveling across the country? So then, what happened in verse 21? Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Eternal caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. All that night made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. God performed a great miracle. When Israel, they were losing confidence. Maybe they were reneging on their promise. He opened the Red Sea, which we know was a type of baptism. But you know, baptism, just being baptized without repentance, could be dangerous. As we see in verse 26, near Pharaoh, they went into the sea too, and all the armies. Verse 26, then the Eternal said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horses. And they perished. Israel went through the sea. Pharaoh and his men were drowned in the sea. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be, I do not want you to be unaware. I'm going to get some glasses someday because my vanity is killing me. I got to admit, I need glasses. Oh, there they are. Okay. You know you're in trouble if you got glasses and you still can't see. Okay, the fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate that same spiritual food. And all drank that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. In verse 6 it says, now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Of course, they committed idolatry and a number of other sins. Then from there they came to the mountain of God. And they heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of God. And what did they do? They said, I do. They said, I do. In Exodus 19, verse 8, then all the people answered together and said, all that the Eternal has spoken, we will do. I've said that. Yes, Lord, just whatever, I'll do it. Yeah. Have you heard the voice of God? You know, this is the voice of God, as we hear. This is the voice of God that we have access to, which is the Bible. Have you heard the call of God? If you heard, have you answered?
Was it yes? I want to, but I've got this problem, Lord. Or maybe you say, yeah, I want to. Or maybe you're just thinking about it. I need to think about it for a while. You know, psychologists say they work with people that have destructive habits. And, you know, they have their little terms. They have the pre-contemplation. Not really caring. Oh, yeah, I heard that. But I'm not really interested. And then they go on from there as they get ready. They intend to change. And they're more aware of the need of change. But they're not really changing. They're thinking about it. And then it could move on to action. They actually have made specific modifications in their lifestyle that was damaging. And they have several other points. But when God brought Israel to that mountain, He gave His commandments and they answered yes. Yes, Lord. But that answer, yes, was changed to, but I can't. It's too much for me. Reminds me of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. You know, the yes man's not always the man you can depend on. He's just a man pleaser. Matthew 21 and verse 28. Jesus said, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and he went. He had to take a little time to count the cost. But then, I need to do this. Then he came the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. A man pleaser. I go, sir. But he didn't go. He didn't go. In the previously in this chapter, Jesus had cleansed the temple, went in there, and it was polluted. People were in there saying, yes, Lord, but their actions were, but I want to do this, or I want to do that. Then he gave the parable of the fig tree in verse 19. Now in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. He had just cleansed the temple. People were not bearing any fruit. And I think he was saying, when he comes, he's going to expect fruit. He's going to expect we have done something with the life He's given us, with the calling that He's given us. When God calls us, He expects some fruit. He expects change. A but must be repented of. And I've said it. Maybe you've said it. Yes, Lord, but let me finish this or do that. And then I'm with you. Give me a little time. Brethren, this day of Pentecost, pictures a changed life. I know you've heard that. And Mr. Dowd took all my scriptures. But I'm going to stand up here until 6 o'clock this evening. No, I would not do it. I'm pretty short-winded. Pictures a changed life and how we can overcome the buts and move on to a changed life. Because I've said but a few times to God. A changed life that happens every day that we choose to say yes. And we mean it. But there's always that nagging, but. I want to do your will, you know, but right now, maybe it's not convenient. And many of us might think of the young ruler that came to Christ. How can I receive eternal life? Jesus said, well, keep the commandment. Oh, I've done all of that. Maybe he was expecting a little praise. You know, but he had a but there. Jesus said, oh, well then sell what you have and give to the poor. Now that was a setback. That was, yes, Lord, but. Now that's asking a little bit too much for me. In Luke chapter 9, I won't turn to the young ruler, but in Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, in verse 59, is that right? No. I don't know what I was looking for. Luke 9. I need to turn to Luke 9. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Come and follow me. But he said, you know, let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. Oh, I've said that. Lord, I'll do whatever. Oh, I'm feeling real spiritual right now and real zealous. Then when we really find out what might be required, he said, another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one is fit. After you put your hand to the plow and start looking back. See, Israel started looking back. They remembered the good times in Egypt. When they were there, oh, it was terrible. You know, slavery. But then, when they're looking back, oh, it was so nice there. Oh, if we just could go back there and eat some onions. You know, have some whatever they like. The butts after, you know, when you say, Lord, after I get my wife, then I can go ahead and serve you. Or after I finish school, or when I get my career, then I can afford to follow you, maybe. After I'm through having fun, you know, church is no fun. It's a drag. After I get through having fun. But it's nice to talk to people I have today that grew up in the church and how much fun and how much they appreciated the church. But some people think it's no fun. It's a drag. Let me have some fun, then I'll serve God. After I get through my present situation, I'm in a situation right now and I need to get through this and then I'm ready to serve God. Or I'll tithe after I get my raise. Just can't afford it right now. It's taking everything I have. You know, the boat needs repaired. The four-wheeler's out of gas. Whatever. No, but there are people that's really, they're down to their last penny. And they can't afford to tithe. On paper. Said, let me get my raise, then I'll come. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 in verse 1. We all have excuses. And it's part of us. Matthew 22 in verse 1. And Jesus spoke to them again in a parable and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come." God calls people, and some people just right up front, they're not willing. Not willing to come. They're too busy or whatever. He said, they invited and they were not willing to come. And again he sent out other servants saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, fat cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their way. I'd hope we wouldn't be guilty of that. Just making light of it. "Well, I think I'll go to church most of the time. I think I'll try it, but until something more important might come up." They made light of it. They just made light of it. But they made light of it and went their way. One to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. Some people it's just hostility when the truth is presented to them. It's hostility. But in verse 7, "But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." In verse 8, "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" That would be a frightful thing. Those invited and would not be worthy. "Therefore, go in the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out in the highways, and they gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. We know we sing the song, "Not many wise men, not many mighty are called." And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But, verse 11, "When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment." Someone came there, but they didn't bother about getting dressed for a wedding. They didn't bother about getting the wedding garments on. No, it wasn't that important. Maybe there was a little bit too much change to get the wedding proper clothing. God believes in proper clothing for the event. I mean, I think that's obvious that He believes that, and He expects us as we learn to follow that. The bad and the good, they have to be dressed. God cares. What can we do then? You know, in Matthew 13, I won't need to turn there, we went over it. But you know, at first there's people, they're all excited, but they don't really take down the root of repentance. And some things are just more important. And so they move on also. Cares of the life take precedent over God's calling. And there's a lot of cares out there. When God calls, things just start happening sometimes. What can we do about the buts? I will turn to Acts chapter 2. in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I think that is a proper response. God opens our mind in His calling, and hopefully we say, "What shall I do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We have to make the move to repentance when God grants it to us. The point was brought out that God makes the move first, and then we become His people by responding to that move. Responding in repentance. Repentance is necessary to receive the Holy Spirit. That's one of the basic things we can do about the buts, is repentance. Repentance is the road to receiving the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 15. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." It says in verse 16, "Rejoice always." We can kind of get down in the dumps sometimes and think, "Well, is God listening? Well, what's going on? Something's not happening." Nobody says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus." And he says, verse 19, "Do not quench the Spirit or extinguish it." We can't extinguish that Spirit by not repenting of what God has shown us. We may say, "Yes, Lord, but is not repentance." It may sound like, I'm with you, Lord, but I just got a little thing over here to take care of." That's not repentance. No, that isn't repentance at that time. See, I believe he says that, maybe this isn't where I'm looking, but we don't want to quench that Spirit by ignoring what that Spirit is revealing to us through God's calling. What did the people there in Acts 2? They said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "You repent and you receive the Holy Spirit." I have Simon Magus. What did he think? He wanted the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Let's look at Acts chapter 8. I mean, we all want the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God says, "Who wants the Holy Spirit?" Everybody's hand goes up, including Simon Magus. He wanted the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, I believe in verse 17. "Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit after they were baptized in the name of the Lord and repentance. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He offered them money saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Simon thought that money could take the place of repentance. He just buys his way in. And I got to admit, these thoughts have come to my mind once again. I was just pressured to work on Saturday. And I thought, man, okay, Lord, if I go ahead and work, I don't want to, but if I work, I'll give you all the money I make that day. I can buy my way out of this. Trouble is, God didn't need the money. So I said, trouble. If he had been down and out, he might have made a deal. But he wasn't in the mood for it. I didn't do it, but the thought came to my mind. You know, I've had some pretty bad thoughts. Anyway. So he thought he could just buy it. Instead of repenting, he thought he would just buy God's Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Says you got to put these things away, or you're going to be grieving the Holy Spirit. You're going to be hindering the Holy Spirit. So we can't be doing that. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander needs to be put away. Repent of these things and go the other way. That means a changed life through repentance. Another point I would like to make is, don't listen to yourself. I've listened to myself many times. It doesn't work that well. Once you're called by God, you have to stop listening to yourself. And I've told the story of buying a new truck on the Sabbath. And I didn't intend to. And all once the salesman drove up right there on my property. I said, man, that's old truck salesman. I get up and go, and my wife said, it's the Sabbath. Go bake a cake, woman. I'm out of here. I listened to myself. I thought, well, I need to make this deal now because, you know, it's going to go away. No. I got to say, I wasn't baptized yet. But I thought I was pretty righteous. But, of course, I always had my wife to remind me of what I am. Sometimes it's not that good. But we can't listen to ourselves. What Jeremiah 17:9 say? Maybe I should turn there, but I believe it's the heart. You know, it's deceitful. It can trick you. Your own mind can trick you. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Let's see if that says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we can't even grasp how our own heart is. You know, we can't listen to ourselves. Once we're called by God, we're in a different ball game, you might say. We have to stop listening to what we've always listened to. And maybe we've had some good character traits that would carry us through, but not to become the very Son of God and have the mind of God. Proverbs chapter 30. If we would turn there. Proverbs chapter 30. And verse 12. There is a generation
that is pure in its own eyes. That's the problem with listening to yourself. We're pure in our own eyes. We look pretty good. We think about it, I'm a pretty decent person. At least I'm not like this other person. Isn't that what the Pharisees would say? Said, I thank God that I'm not like this sinner and this publican, and look how good person I am. And of course, who knew the Bible better than the Pharisees and Sadducees? That was last night when that trivia thing, I said, we need to find some Pharisees. I mean, we need some answers here. Somebody that knows the Bible. You know, they knew the Bible. But they didn't know their own heart. And they would rely on their own heart. 30 verse 12. There's a generation that's pure in its own eyes, yet it's not washed from its filthiness. See, there's a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And there's a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. See, that's what we're capable of coming from inside of us. But the Holy Spirit leads us in a different way. Not to rely on our own self. Don't listen to our own self. The Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. We have to decide, are we going to repent? Let's look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. In verse 8. And Jesus here speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is in your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But I depart, I will send Him to you. God promises the Helper. When He begins to work with us, if we're willing to take that step to repentance and denying our own self, then He's going to send a helper. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit will help us to see what sin is in our life. I don't think, carnally speaking, I know I couldn't see the sin that was in my own life. Oh, I could see some. They weren't that important. I could pass them off. But I didn't really see. I didn't really see what God was going to show me. In verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Yes. It convicts us of sin. And in verse 13, what about the Holy Spirit? However, when it, the Spirit of truth has come. That Spirit of truth, when it starts revealing the truth of what we are, it's not a pretty picture. And thankfully, God puts this out little at a time. Like I say, that year in 1964, I didn't realize what was coming. Because God, in His mercy, does not put more on us than we can bear. He will guide you, in verse 13, into all truth, for He will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it bears or hears, it will speak and it will tell you things to come. Yes, God's Spirit is what will reveal and guide us. Otherwise, we can't really see ourselves. We just cannot see ourselves. And we need to listen to God and not ourselves. I was going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That has got to be the greatest scripture in the Bible. I've got that highlighted, underlined. I leave my wife little post-it notes. Scripture. Today's scripture reading. Ephesians 5:24. But she's read a little bit of the Bible too. Nothing like myself, of course. And she says, read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. If we're depending on ourselves, we're making those decisions, like Eve and Adam. But God's Word, through the power of God's Spirit, begins to wash and clean us up from the inside out. The Word will clean us through the power of His Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding of God's Word. We're not going to be able to comprehend it. And when we stop listening and stop doing, when you stop doing, you start losing. That's just the way business is. Anything, when you stop doing, you're going to start losing. You're going to start losing some of the things that you even understood when you stop doing what God shows you. It's important to don't listen to yourself, but listen to God's Word. And of course, another point is pray without ceasing. I mean, how can we survive if we're not praying? I mean, praying regularly. 1 Thessalonians 5. Yes, praying. I hope it's not, well, if all else fails, pray. No. Be praying before all the rest of things fail. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, as I've read before, but something else I wanted to get here. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Find something to be thankful for when you're praying. You know, I know there's a lot of things might be going on. Disappointments. But there's plenty to be thankful for. Don't quench that spirit by doing the things in verse 15. This would be ways of quenching God's Spirit. Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both yourselves and for all. In verse 17, it says, don't stop praying. So you go, I've got to pray all day. I just got to continue to pray.
I can't even stop to eat. Means don't give up on prayer. Don't give it up. Say, well, where is God? My wife asked me that something the other day. I said, I don't know. I haven't talked to him lately. But that's a mistake. No, I'm kidding. We had talked to him. You can't give up on prayer. You have to keep doing it. Don't give up on prayer. In Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. I mean, we have times when we get discouraged. And we think, oh, nothing's happening. Psalms chapter 51, but we must continue to pray. We can't give up on prayer. Psalms 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That can be our prayer every day. Is create in me, because we know our heart is deceitful. It's corruptible. And it is corrupt. Create in me a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I mean, David, he was in a desperate prayer. No, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And it's a change. He says, renew and give me a clean heart. Someone said, it's been said that you should watch what you say. Another person said, well, I just watch my thoughts and that takes care of what I say. So it's from the inside. You know, Jesus said, from the mouth, the heart speaks. So we're talking about changing inside, and that can only be through the Spirit of God. You know, change what's inside, and we don't have to watch our words so much, because they'll be right and good. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me, he says. You might say, well, I prayed yesterday, but today I'm busy. I'm give out. I'm busy. Besides, I prayed yesterday. I'd say that was cease from prayer. I'm too busy. It's too late. I'm too tired. I'm just plain lazy, maybe. You know, to overcome the buts, we have to move forward. You know, we have to make the move to repentance. And God has to grant us repentance. But He moves in first, and then it's up to us to become His people through repentance. We can't listen to our own reasoning and justification. Because we can justify most anything in our own mind. And continue to pray. Don't skip it. Say, well, I think I'll skip it today. Well, that day in 1964 was the beginning. It was just the beginning of a changed life. A day that caused us to start thinking differently. We weren't doing anything differently, but the thinking was becoming different. That day we just going to a movie, driving down the road, and turned on the radio. And a voice asked a question. Do you believe God would torment and burn people forever? Some reason that just got my attention. I thought, well, yeah, I guess so. It was just a spark in my mind. Maybe you've had something that just got your attention. And you started thinking. It was just a spark. What we didn't realize was we were being called to repentance. We weren't thinking about repentance. We were being set up. Yeah, we were being set up for repentance. And we didn't realize it at the time. We had no idea how far we would have to go. Thankfully, we had no idea how far we would go. Well, has God made a call to you? Have you said yes, but? My wife and I, we've said yes and then but many times. And we've paid the price physically and spiritually to learn that but isn't repentance. But then we move on with yes. So there are setbacks at times. But brethren, don't let the but rob you of your call to repentance and the receiving of God's Spirit. But when God opens our mind, it's time to move forward. It's not a time for a but. Your calling of God is to receive His Spirit and to become as He is. Move forward and say, yes, Lord. And be empowered by the Holy Spirit that comes from repentance and conversion for a changed life. Repent. Don't listen to ourselves. And continue to pray.